Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh, yeah. And anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Drum. Kate, you can
bad for the sun dancers yesterday because It was like 110 degrees out there in that circle yesterday, you know. Me, of course, I was on the highway, so it was hot, let me tell you. And I hope that most of you are out there having a comfortable day and a comfortable life. You know, praying for your health. Hope you all have a good health and hope that you have keep your mental condition right, you know. And, you know, Denver, of course, is still at Sundance. They got to do Wopula. And there, he was telling me how hard it was there. That Sundance is really hard, I'll tell you that much. I know firsthand. No water out there. No food. No cook shack. You know? After you get done dancing, yeah, okay. That's the real nitty gritty out there. And but these other Sundances, you know, everyone's different. Yeah. And you know, I don't question either one of them. You know, in other words, depending on your level of endurance, there's a Sundance for you if you decide to Sundance. But if you want to do it old-fashioned way, watch what Sundance you do go to. And, okay. So, I'm happy all these Sundances are going on, and I missed a couple of them. I hope to still at least go over and do some visiting after they're done tomorrow and things like that. But we'll see what happens. At the same time, you know, we got to be careful when traveling. You know, people out there that have nice cars and look like they're living nice, well, you got to watch out for them. They think they own the highway, and they do some wicked stuff. Down in L.A., some woman, a nurse, as a matter of fact, was traveling 100 miles an hour on La Brea Avenue. That's like a boulevard. Actually, it turns into Hawthorne Boulevard. And she's going 100 miles, and then Slauson's another big street that crosses it. And you see the light change green, and these cars just, you know, cruising across. It changed green. They cruise across, and here comes some nurse in a dark, probably black Mercedes-Benz traveling 100 miles an hour and hits two cars, one broadside, the first one knocks that into the one next to her, and all three of them go up in flames and then hit a bunch of other cars. Anyway, killed a woman, a pregnant woman, and her one-year-old baby, and some other people. They even found dead body charred in wreckage, you know? And this movie star, Annie Hetchy or whatever her name is, you know. Another one. She got in a car wreck and then took off from that car wreck, probably so scared she's going to get caught drunk, took off hauling ass and wrecked again. This time flew into a house. And they say she got kind of burnt. See what happens. Everybody's paying for her, you know. She's a movie star and all that. So they don't care what she did. All they Noah, she's hurt, and they're out praying for her. They don't care if the house she tore up, and she could have killed people in there. But, you know, people with these nice cars, I see it all the time on the highway. Nice cars, they're the assholes of the highway. Cut in front of you, honk at you, road rage, you know. I mean, there's usually those people are, I don't know what the hell, I think they're God, you know. I was at Sundance today and trying to go through the parking lot, and there's a big, giant black pickup just blocking the way. Even Indians, or maybe he wasn't an Indian, get these new cars, and they think they get all arrogant and everything, you know. I said, yeah, that must be God himself parked right there, you know. It's a shame, you know, how people, these Americans are. No one knows how to be humble, especially they got a new car. They act like that, you know. It's just crazy, you know. And all the road rage, the killing and murders behind road rage, and usually those are kind of new cars, people in new cars, you know. This girl, sometimes she pulled into the radio show. She sent me a video of her getting into it with a biker. Well, he pulled in front of her. He got mad at her for driving too slow or something. Pulled in front of her and then just stopped on the road, made her stop. Turned around all arrogant, flipped her the bird right through her windshield, you know. I mean, big old punk, grown man, you know. Looked like could have been a Mexican guy too, you know. I mean, these guys, I don't care what color you are, once you get on a motorcycle, you lose your culture or something. You start trying to look like them raunchy peckerwoods, you know, beard, and then flipping people the bird. And right now is motorcycle season. So you see them on the road right now, heading to Sturgis and all that on these roads, because you got to go through Indian country to get to Sturgis. And, man, they're cruising in numbers. I mean, you know what they do? They'll cruise through a town, and if the light changes red, they'll block the whole, couple bikes will block the whole intersection to let the rest of their party drive through, you know? And, boy, they really think they're somebody. Bikers, grown adults, man, that's what gets me. But they act like kids, you know, putting earrings all in their nose. You could tell some of them can't even barely learn how to ride bikes, too. You know, when they're in front of you, they kind of wobble, or when they turn a corner, they kind of jerk, you know. Got their feet some kind of weird way. I mean, most of them just barely probably got a divorce, so decided to get a bike and act young. Bunch of idiots out there, you know. You got to watch out for them right now. And right now, they're over there in the Black Hills, and they're passing, you know, they're driving in convoys right now. You got to watch out for them, too. And then probably packing, you know. They usually come from the NRA crew, you know, packing weapons in their bikes and stuff. Yeah, deadly time too, you know. And I was thinking about it, you know, all this stuff going on in the world, but here are people, we're having sun matches and all that, you know, and at least basically trying to live in a spiritual way, or having it available for those who want it, you know. And I appreciate that, you know, Crow Dogs and these other Sundances going on right now. That's a good thing. And I hope to be able to, like I said, still go visit and catch a couple of them. Anyway, you know, that's I was looking on Facebook, you know, because I was sitting in a parking lot today. I said this before. Sometimes I sit in a parking lot, you know. Family goes into the store, so I just sit in the truck and gawk, you know, or the car, just lean back and stare. And, man, you see people, Indians, you know. I'm happy to be on my res, but, man, they're catching some bad habits, you know. Seen one old lady, like, I know who she is because I know her husband, and he's a political guy, and they broke up. She ran off with a white guy. And maybe that made her feel like, because she wears big sunglasses. She's all, I mean, skinnier than Hal, but had a real short mini skirt or sundress or something walking in the store, you know, with sandals on. I was thinking, man, my mom never would be like that, you know. So my mom had kids. She was looking like mama to me, you know. She looked like mother. But these people nowadays, they're not like that. Then you look on, like I was telling you, you know, you get on the news, the internet, and all these movie stars are flashing, you know. They're out there flashing their bods, these young women. I mean, old women, I shouldn't say young women. You know, in their 40s and 50 years old, bragging about how they're, you know, wearing bikinis. J-Lo is one of them. Halle Berry, you know. Yeah, some of them might, you know. I'm not going to say they're looking good or nothing, but, you know, maybe they're holding their age a little more. But I tell you what, one day your age just goes. You know, then what? You know what I mean? It's just, you just go. So what the hell? You're going to be flashing all your bod and all this stuff. And some of them even got nude photos, you know. And they're getting, they're on the, really flashing Instagram and all that, and it comes out on Yahoo News and everything. You know, those women, one day it's going to hit them that they're not fine no more. Then what they going to do? Is it time to start hanging themselves or killing themselves? Or what they going to do? You know, they live life being, you know, in shape or whatever, pretty or beautiful, celebrity with money. But what are they going to do, you know? I mean, I know some of them, like Jane Fonda and all that, they just got out of the scene, but maybe some of them can still hold it together. I don't know. But the ones that can't, what do they do? I see some pictures of some of them that, you know, nothing works for them no more, and they turn into pure alcoholics. Country is full. Americans are the biggest alcoholics of the world, and everybody's drinking. Baseball players, athletes, everybody's drinking. You know, that's just how they live. You know, they got to have a beer in the fridge. And then when someone comes over, they whip out the hard stuff. Oh, you care for a drink? You know, and they got their little cups, their little whiskey bottles, their little ice cube pan. And, you know, and yeah, I'll take some on the rocks. You know, they're just alcoholics, you know. But they make it look like it's classy. And some of our Indians try that, you know. Tell you what, though, you get an Indian on some whiskey or something on the rocks, pretty soon that's a shameful person, you know. But it's like, you know, that's how they are. And I think that's why they have so many car wrecks, you know. Like I was talking about this woman, this was a black girl, a nurse too. She's like 37 years old, nice Mercedes Benz, driving 100 miles an hour down La Brea Avenue, you know, a big boulevard in LA. You don't drive down them boulevards that fast. and wonder where, you know what gets me is, I don't know why, but me, if I go just above the speed limit, I don't care where I'm at, a cop shows up and I'm busted, you know, let alone if I'm driving 100 miles an hour for the last 3 miles, you know, shooting in and out of traffic in a Mercedes Benz, you know, but, you know, nothing happens to them, people till they kill a bunch of people. But she lived. She killed 6 people, a little baby. There was, showed a little baby in a car seat. That car seat flew in the sky and burnt too and tumbled down the road, 1-year-old baby boy in it. And the baby's mother died, and she had a baby that was a little boy, and she was on her way to a prenatal check, you know. And this news just caught my attention because those people out there, they're just as bad as any criminal with a gun. Any criminal that robs a bank. Any serial killer, that's what they are. They're no different. You know, just because she got a job or whatever, she's a killer now. And she lived. Then she's going to be crying around about how sorry she is and all that. You know, like that Brittany Griner, how sorry she is now after she did all that, get busted for having pot, or what do they call them, hash in a vape, you know. And, you know, from what I understand, you know, some states it's legal to have a little pot, you know. It don't say nothing about hash. It talks about pot, you know. Some of it's legal, you know, you have a little bit in some states. But for federal government, it is still illegal. You know what I mean? It is still illegal to have pot. You know, so you can, you know, so since it's still illegal, what makes you think that it's all right to do it, have it in another country? And you know, I kind of argued a little bit with a white lady at a Sundance the other day. Wow, she might be a little Indian. Whoops, who's doing that huffing? You huffing on the air? Hold on. Anyway, it might be a little bit Indian in her. But right away, she starts, for no reason, starts talking about Russia and Putin, you know. Thinks that everybody here at a Sundance wants to hear that crap, you know. And here's what, let me tell you what, something that people should understand. If you think back, this country, there's a lot of old guys still in this country, still alive, still have an influence on what's going on in this country. And even them, they don't like pot. To them, pot's a narcotic. Well, 30 years ago, and even when I was younger, like back in the 60s, one of my old homeboys got busted for like a half a pound of weed in his trunk. You know, they gave him a life sentence. He was in like 15, 17 years before he got out. He made it out. But he did a lot of time for pot, you know? And that was back in the old days. Because if you remember, pot back then was still a narcotic. And at the same time, you know, being gay was something you kept in the closet. back then in the 60s, you know, 50s, 40s, you know. It wasn't something like now people can run around and open, yeah, I'm gay and then how? You know, I'm gay, you know. And it's no big thing. And we're getting married or they got married or whatever, you know. It's like now it's a normal thing. So it's common over here. I mean, I'm seeing them every day, even here on the red. But there's other countries that are still old-fashioned. And I tell you what, Russia is one of those countries where marijuana, pot, is still a narcotic. To them, it's a narcotic. Yeah. And being gay is a no-no. You better keep that in the closet. You know what I mean? Of course, they're getting pressed and pressed and pressed by Western society to open the door and open up and say pot's legal and being gay is normal. They're getting pressure for that, you know? But no matter how much pressure you get, you're not going to change them overnight. I know this about Russia, you know? And the kids and everybody, the whole society looks at pot as a narcotic and looks at as gay, being gay as a no-no and, you know, mental illness and all kinds of other stuff. So anyway, this girl's talking about, and Putin, you know? Let me tell you something. Putin ain't running Russia. He don't run Russia. He's the president or the leader of Russia. But he's not running it. He's under strict guidance of who put him there and who's keeping him there. You got that? That's how it works. There's no more of this one guy runs everything. Everybody's runs is ran by somebody else. And in Russia, at the leadership table is a bunch of old guys sitting there, old Russians, you know, old communists, old this way of thinking, old that way of thinking. That's how Russia's ran. Putin is the leader, but these ones here are the ones that give him the power. And he does what they want. I'm sure it wasn't all his idea to be involved in this conflict. It's not his idea for a lot of things. But the reason why they keep him there is he's so good at being able to cruise in their lane of logic. You know? I mean, he probably says, yeah, well, you know, if you want to bomb Ukraine, well, you know, okay, we'll do it then. Because he got 10 guys telling him to do it. Then these same people are still saying marijuana's a narcotic and gays, you know, gays are no-no. I heard in St. Petersburg, Russia, which is more influenced by foreigners because, you know, the shipping industry and all that stuff has more open gay things going on there. But you go to countries like Belarus and all them, if they find out you're gay, they ain't even giving you a visa. You can't go in their country if you're gay, let alone try to pack some drugs in them countries. It's not just Russia. Them countries are old-fashioned. You know what I mean? They're old-fashioned. So because they're old-fashioned, you got to watch out. Well, this Brittany Griner, or whatever her name is, she flunks both those tests right off the bat. She's gay. She got tattoos on her arms of skulls and what do you call skulls? Skulls and, bones and all that and all this stuff. And then she's, what do you call them?
Crossbones.
Yeah. And then she's gay. Those are two things Russians don't like off the top. You know what I mean? And you ain't going to change them. And you can't blame Putin for that either. Putin has no control over that. That's an older society that runs Russia, an older society. It's like America. It used to be an older society running this country, like Eisenhower and all them old white guys that were, you know, and that's why they gave one of my bros 50 years for having a half pound of pot. Back then, man, that's the kind of people run this country. And how far back can you go before it started being gay, started being normal? I tell you what, it hasn't been that long. I mean, I remember I was in the hospital. One of my friends died in a car wreck, but we didn't know he died. We were sitting in the hospital in California. And this was back in the 70s, I'll say. Yeah. So we're sitting in the hospital, and three women come in, and somebody from their party got in a wreck, was there in the hospital too. So we're sitting there, they're sitting over there in some chairs, and I'm sitting over here and looking at these women, and man, something about them didn't look right. So I kept kind of gazing over there, looking, and then all three of them were kind of big, you know, for women, like 6 foot tall or something. I started checking them out, their hands, you know. I mean, I'm getting real nosy because here I'm an Indian guy. I'm used to seeing this kind of stuff. And I was looking at that one, and that one looked at me, and all of a sudden stared at me and said, "What the F you looking at?" with a low voice. "What the F you looking at?" Boy, I almost dropped. Oh, nothing. You know, I'm sorry. You know, should I took my eyes away? I got the hell. And they all started looking at me. I said, "Shit, they look like they want to whip my ass." But that guy had a voice lower than, you know, "What the F you looking at?" You know, sound like Sylvester Stallone talking to me, damn it. You know, I said, "Gee, Christ, what the hell?" And I started looking at them. Then I started checking the legs out, and they had football players' legs and stuff. Then I said, "Man." And then my bros that were with me, we kind of got up and we walked out. And, you know, Mexican dudes, "What are they? Did you check that out, man? And those ain't even rucas, they say." You know, ruca means, you know, slang for those ain't even women. "Those are vatos," they said. "Those are vatos." Those are guys, you know, they're saying that. We couldn't believe it. So after that, we started peeking on them, but not wanting to get caught peeking on them, you know. And you see, that's 1970s, right? Yeah, so here we are, 70, 80, 90. 2000, 2010, 2000, 50 years ago, right? So just 50 years back, I was in total shock to see that stuff. Well, now there's nobody in shock to see that. It's normal. It's nobody in shock to see pot all over the place either. But just like I said, I know Russians don't even know what pot smells like. bunch of them, don't even know about LSD or hash or all that stuff. Seriously. Grown adults don't even know what the hell that is. And that's how it still is in Russia. So, this Brittany Garner, she's playing basketball over there. I could see her whole game. Because, you know, she's walking up all cool to that scanner machine, throws the stuff in there. You know? She thinks she ain't going to get caught. And then, you know, these people think they're cool. She got that, these dreadlocks and all that, tattoos all up, you know. If I get caught, I can talk my way out of this shit, you know. She got caught. Plain as day, you looked at the video. She got caught. And she didn't talk her way out of it. You know, you ain't talking your way out of something in another country, you know. You commit a crime in another country, it's about bye-bye, jail time. You know what I mean? And the law will tell you, you know. You know, you can't fly to other countries with any kind of drugs, you know. Even American painkillers are drugs, considered drugs in other countries and in Russia. You know, hydrocodone's a serious felony in Russia. Like TSA over here says, their dogs aren't sniffing for marijuana. Well, they sure are. If their dog smells something, they're going to call the cops over, you know? So, cannabis, like they call it, is illegal in most countries. If you try to travel internationally with any amount of cannabis in your possession, you could face serious criminal penalties both at home and abroad. In Canada, they'll tell you that, you know. Even in Canada, that's just north, you know. What if she got caught in Canada? Would it be different, you know? You know, and then they ain't going for that. Some other a Jew woman, but from America, she got caught sneaking pot into Russia, and she got 7 years for drug trafficking. She already did her time and is out. But now she jumped on Griner's side and talking about how evil it is to bust Brittany Griner, and she's on her side. You know, well, she could do what she wants. But I tell you what, the American made it worse by going over there and threatening Russia. You let her go or else. You're illegally detaining her, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And then I see Indians on Facebook saying, oh, they're just using her as a pawn. You know, what do an Indian know about it? What do a damn Native American know about it? But they're trying to be American, you see. They're trying to fit in with the American and act like they know something, you know. Yeah, they're just using her for, she ain't no pawn. They couldn't care less about Brittany Griner, them Russians. Look, they didn't even care about Snowden. You know? The Russia, they tried to convince Russia to let Snowden go. And they said, no, they ain't deporting nobody. They're not extraditing nobody. They don't do that. Russia said that. That's why Snowden never got extradited. You know? They gave them sanctuary there. And the Americans said, oh, right away Americans said, oh, you're just keeping them because now you're learning all the secrets. They said, man, we don't need Snowden to know anything about you Americans. He don't know nothing any more than we already know. You know what I mean? They didn't care about Snowden. Snowden, what information could he give Russia, Snowden, that they don't already know? That the Americans were bombing Al-Qaeda and bombing children and buses and everything? They already knew that. You know, everything that Snowden said about America in his reports, Russia already knew that. No secret. The whole world knew America's bombing children and thing. They knew that before Snowden. They also knew that every American's phone's tapped. Now, how many of us figured out our phone was tapped before Snowden showed up? Huh? How many of us heard that little click on the other line? You know what I mean? How many of us know we were being followed before Snowden showed up? Everything that Snowden knows is just a bunch of common sense. He just had to show the media videos of them bombing, droning vans with kids in them, droning wedding parties, you know, and all that. He just had and proof that, you know, they were bugging the embassies in Berlin and Germany and all that. How everybody knows they bugging each other, right? Ain't it common sense? That's what they do. So Snowden didn't let them know nothing, but here's a stupid American. Oh, they're just using them for information. Just like, oh, they're just want to trade Brittany, use her for a pawn. What the hell can they use her for? She's nothing. You know, to them, she's somebody. They bust it, and they're probably happy she did get busted because they don't want gays in their country. I tell you that. They don't want drug smugglers or potheads because all she was doing was influencing their basketball teams and the Russians over there by, you know, being a pothead. And spreading the gay deal over there. They don't want that. They're not into that. They're still old-fashioned, and there's a lot of countries over there that still like that. I'm telling you, look under the visas. Try to get a visa in Belarus or some of them countries. They'll tell you flat out, if you're gay, you ain't coming in here. You know? And they'll tell you flat out, don't get caught for, if you bring drugs in here, you're going to go to prison. So Brittany Griner did a dumb thing, stupid thing, but she was trying to be cool. Or should I, she was trying to be cool. You know, she wanted to be cool and show them Russians how she's an American pilot. Try this out. We do this all the time. Here, try this out, you know. Oh, no problem. I get you as much as you want, you know. Anything to be like to look like so people will look up to you, you know. People do look up to drug dealers and drug smugglers and drug dealers and all that. They do, you know. As sorry as it seems, they do. Oh, man, that dude, he gets you anything. He's cooler than hell, you know. Yeah, you know. And that's what she did. And she got, you know, going over there wearing dreadlocks and all that. There's a few, you know, in Russia, they don't have a lot of black people. And the black people they do have over there, a lot of them are students from Africa. Yeah. from Africa, real Africans, you know, and maybe some Cubans, blacks. They don't have too many American blacks there because they don't like them, you know. And the Russian men don't like these American blacks at all, period. They will. They do. They are racist. They'll whip some, you know, they'll catch these black guys and they'll whip their ass because these black guys are always trying to go around and scheme their women and, you know, show off here and there and try to act like they got, you know, they don't like that. You see, because in Russia, and when you're talking Russian, there's no way to sound cool talking Russian. But when you're talking English, you can sound cool. You can say, hey, y'all, what it be like? Hey, nigga. You know, they sound cool over here. But the Russians, they don't sound cool at all. You know what I mean? So it's a big thing, you know, how they, the difference in cultures. So like me, I show up in Russia, I got long hair, braid, you know, native. I ain't over there trying to make everybody be Indian. And I know what a good thing Indians don't know how to prance around, you know. You don't look cool. We don't know how to do that. We're just like South. So I ain't trying to show them how to walk a new way. And I ain't trying to show them how to say a fancy word, you know. I'm sounding pretty raggedy when I talk English, you know. And I ain't trying to, you know, hey, y'all. You know, I ain't doing that. So, matter of fact, I'm looked at in a more respectful way because I'm not nobody's way. When I'm in a line, if it looks like people are in a hurry, I get out and let them get in front of me. I ain't in no, you know. That's just how I am. When I'm walking in the subway station, I walk slow. I keep on the side by the wall so people can haul ass around me because everybody's in a hurry. You know, I'm just, you know, taking my sweet ass time wherever I go. And I make sure I'm not nobody's way. And I'm not bullying nobody to breathing down their neck in a line. You ever stand in a line and there's somebody right on your ass breathing down your neck? No shame. You know, and when people do that, you know, mostly, you know, like Americans are good at that. And even our people, like today, somebody fired up a cigarette right next to me. And all of a sudden he jumped up and got away. Hey, I'm sorry, Lexi. I'm sorry, Uncle, he said, you know. And yeah, that's cool. He acknowledged that, you know, that, you know, don't do that. But I was sitting on the arbor on the other side, you know, and some people fired up cigarettes, was just there smoking, the wind was blowing. And when you don't smoke cigarettes, cigarettes smell bad. But they don't even realize it, you see. But so when you go to another country and go to other places, they have their set ways. And when you try to impose yourself or impose your custom on other people, they don't like it. I remember when I was young, when I was in Japan, you know, I had a bad habit of, I knew an American guy that had a Japanese girlfriend. So I knew where he's at. I'd walk in, he'd say, come in. I'd just walk straight in and go in there. And he'd say, I take your shoes off. You know? Oh, I'm sorry, you know, because you got to take your shoes off. Well, a lot of European countries are the same way, too. But you see, I didn't know all these rules, you know. And I tell you what, Americans have got bad habits, and I had some of these bad habits too. The only thing was I didn't get offended when someone corrected me. I fixed up the problem right then and there, you know, and I make sure when I'm around them, I'm giving them all the respect, you know, even if they're serving food. And one thing I learned is when someone offers you something to eat, just eat it. You know what I mean? Just eat it. Don't sit there, oh, what is this? Oh, I don't like that. You know, just eat it and shut the hell up and get the hell out of there and don't go back. You don't like it. You know? So I never have too many problems, and I've been in a lot of countries in this world. And I'm not just trying to brag. It's a fact. And you know what? People are pretty reasonable, and they treat you good if you don't impose yourself, you know. But don't go to another country thinking you can do something, you know, get away with something. Because the worst thing that people don't like other countries is Americans trying to pull the wool over their eyes or insult their intelligence. Don't go someplace and insult their intelligence. I'll give you an example. I don't know if I told you guys this before. Maybe I did or maybe I didn't. But one time when we were touring Germany, we did gigs in a whole bunch of towns in Germany, northwestern, all the way to Hamburg, Wolfsburg, north and all that. And in them days, when we first started went over there, they used to have Deutschmarks. That was the money they used, Deutschmarks. And Deutschmarks looked just like Monopoly money. I'm telling you, you know, no difference, Monopoly money. And when we were doing gigs, people, oh, you guys are from America. And right away, Americans are known for being potheads, right? So these Germans want to pay us in pot and hash. You know? Here, man. No, I don't do that, you know? What? You know, there was selling. You see, because Americans have the identity of them that we're potheads and dope dealers and we'll do anything for weed. That's what Americans are known for, making the world think we're all potheads and you can just give us some pot or some drugs and we're happy. You know what I mean? So they used to come try to pay me in pot and everything, you know, since I'm the band leader. No. You know? And I used to have trouble with that, you know. And you know what? They knew how to get around this problem, too. They knew that my bass player and my drummer did like pot. So they would pull them aside and give them pot and drugs and take them out and get drunk and then later on say, hey, we already paid you. What? You paid us? Yeah, we gave Donnie this much pot and this much booze and blah, blah, blah. We paid for their taxi, you know? See, Donnie and Pat, they thought it's all being nice, but they're writing all this marked down. Every taxi we went on, you know, that they went on, and I didn't do that. They couldn't drag me away from the circle I'm in. So I got in a lot of hassles with them. But here's one thing. We were in Kiel. We did a concert in Kiel. And this was a big abandoned building where we did this concert. It was abandoned. Oh, I didn't know the venue or none of that stuff. We just show up and play, right? We're just bad. We didn't know that this building was occupied by squatters. Now, I don't know. Y'all know what squatters are. Americans, for example, they're the biggest squatters that ever lived the earth, you know. But squatters took over that big building. A bunch of people lived in there. The building was abandoned, like probably, what do they call it when they're ready to be destroyed? What do they call that, Philip? When you're condemned.
Oh, the demolition.
Condemned. These buildings are condemned. But they got a bunch of, you know, people living in them. In the rooms, you know, they just, people not paying rent, just live. They just throw a blanket over their doorway and shit, they're living in there. They got them fixed up like they do live there. But they're all squatters. Anyway, they had a big room downstairs. And they did concerts in here. They even hijacked the electricity in there. They had a big wood stove. Well, this is northern Germany. It was colder than hell up there, right there by the Black Sea. And it was really cold up there. And they were throwing railroad ties in that big stove to keep the place warm. But we did a concert there. I got videos of this concert. It was pretty cool concert. I liked it. And then they even had a place they set up. We're serving drinks over there. And they had, you know, they eat a lot of cold cuts. They live on cold cuts. You know, cold cuts, cheese, crackers, bread, pita, and all that. Anyway, so we did this gig there, right? We slept on the stage there. You know, we spent the night there. Anyway, when we got done, the guy came in and whipped out the money and paid, you know, gave me all the money. So everything looked cool. I had a big wad of cash. I'm happy. So I distributed it to the band evenly, you know. I mean, I didn't know this is Deutschmarks, right? But I know what 100 is and what a 500 is, what a 50 is. Because the numbers are all symbols are basically the same. So anyway, we go on this tour. We got paid there, and then we left. We went to Hamburg, I think next, Wolfsburg, all kinds of burgs, you know, and went back to Berlin. And then my drummer, he's a big crybaby. I got to go home. Annie needs me. Annie didn't need him. Annie didn't need him. You know, he just was suspecting Annie of having an affair on him while he's gone. You know, so he wants to go home. He's crying about, oh, she needs me. And he was on the phone with her, you know, and she's telling them, have a good time. And he's saying, you sure you don't need me, hon? You know? Anyway, he's making a big thing. And I didn't like his, you know, big punk out on me like that, you know? So I said, we send him home. So we go to take him to Tegel Airport in Berlin. And he whips out the cash. He's going to go to the cash place and traded in for American dollars, you know, Deutschmarks. So we go over there and he's trading the money and he gives his money to him and we're just standing there waiting for him. And all of a sudden I detect something strange in the behavior of the guy that's whipping the money out. He's saying, blah, blah, blah. He's not talking English, just blah, 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 you know, like, hold on a bit. And smiling, and I'm looking. I said, shit, I don't care where I'm at in the world, I know that evil smile, you know? So the next thing we're there and he's stalling us and I'm ready to just leave. How is this, you know, I'm all nervous. I'm getting nervous. And, but plus he's got to catch his plane. Guess what happens? We look and here comes about 20 cops. I'm talking about, even the woman was over 6 foot tall. Woman cops, them cops came up. Next thing, they're hauling us little Indians through the airport, you know, long-haired Indians, cuffed up right through the airport, you know, and taking us in. And they're talking, we're not talking English. We don't know what the hell is going on. I don't know what the hell's happening, but I know it ain't good. All I know is we're in trouble, some kind of trouble. And they took us to jail. And then they let us, they took us to rooms to talk to us and without an interpreter. And when Germans talk, they talk really rough. Sound like they're mad all the time, you know? And we're scared to death, you know? We're really intimidated. I tell you what, when you don't understand what somebody else is saying, and they're hollering at you, and they got big badges and authority. They're dressed like military, you know, and all that. Finally, they brought some black woman in. Oh, here's a black lady. I was happy to see a black person there. I thought, here. And she comes in and looks at us, looks at me, and they used her for an interpreter, blah, blah, blah. And she said, tell them where you got this money. And then I realized it's about the money. I swear, what's happening? We want to know where you got this money. This cop laid it all down as counterfeit money. We got paid with counterfeit money.
Gross.
Now, how we know it's counterfeit? We don't know what Deutschmarks look like, right? And right away, they dug in all our pockets, and all of us are holding counterfeit money. You know, we're in deep trouble now, man, you know. And we're going to prison for 20, 30 years, and they want us to tell them where we got the counterfeit money from.
Gross.
So what do you do? Well, my common sense says keep my mouth shut and deny we know where we got it from. That was my common sense. So the other guys didn't actually know who gave me the money, you know. I'm the one dealt with the guy. And I just told the cops, I don't know who gave it to us. We did gigs. I named off every place we did a gig. I don't know. I told them where. And they had us. They held us for a while there. And finally, they came. They took all our money from us, everything we had, and they let us go. By that time, Monty missed his plane. Then he had to get back on the plane. And now he's broke. He's going home broke, you know, because we ain't got no more money. They took it all. But me, Pat, and the other one stayed there. So we weren't done. We still had some gigs to do, you know. So we weren't, but it made us be more careful about the money. And I told the other band, because another band performed with us. But you see, they were a German band. So those guys knew better than to pay them in counterfeit money. You know what I mean? So their money was all right. Anyway, after that, I had to really keep an eye on the money that they gave us and make sure it was good money. But you see, the point of this is what I'm saying is nobody was going to come to our aid and our attention. You know, we were just criminals. once we got, once the cops came, we became criminals. No American embassy or president or anything is going to come over and save three little Indians in Berlin for counterfeiting. You know what I mean?
Ooh.
We're nobodies. We're just three little Indians. And that's what we were treated like this whole time. The only thing is one of the older cops realized we didn't know what the hell was going on. But you see, here's the other thing. If we would have told them exactly where we got the money from, you know, here's what would have happened. They would have kept us in jail longer and went and found this guy. And then they would have kept us in Germany and made us testify on them.
Yeah.
And all kinds of others. You know what I mean? So that's why I didn't say nothing. The best thing for me to do is keep the mouth shut, you know, and live long enough and free enough to make another dollar. That's what we did. So Monty went home broke, and us, we went back on the concert trail and got money back, you know. We didn't go home broke, you know. Long story short. But you see, when you're abroad in another country, you don't speak their language. You know? You don't speak their language, right? You don't know nothing about them. And I tell you what, you don't want to get busted by them people. Anybody, any foreign country, because they don't speak English, you don't know what they're saying. You're in deep trouble. Now, if I spoke German and understood German, we probably would have got out of it right away, you know? But because we didn't know no German, there was no way we could defend ourselves. And this Brittany Griner over there in Russia, she's in trouble because she shows up with all these tattoos. She's supposed to be a woman. She's got a woman passport, but tattooed up like a man. That's a red flag for them. All these dreadlocks. Then she's black and come from America.
Wow.
And what is America known for? Being potheads and druggies. And she fit right up that alley. You know? So she's busted. Why even have, what are those vapes? Vapes. I still don't know what you call them. Vapes. I don't even know what a vape is. Anybody know what a vape is?
I kind of might. It's a pipe, and they put oil in the pipe and smoke it. And vape is for vapor.
Okay, why are Americans smoking vape to get off out of tobacco? Quit smoking. How's that? I don't understand that. What is that? Maybe it's time to
be safer. Of, you know, nicotine and stuff supposed to be safer than a cigarette. And there's
how's
other
it safer?
Cigars and stuff.
I mean, what's in it that makes a person who smokes vape?
Probably because it's cool. You know, all the kids were doing it. It's a cool thing.
But I
thing.
Mean, does it? Is there tobacco in it?
No, it's
are
oil.
They
nicotine oil.
Tobacco. So they're putting nicotine oil in it. And how does it? What happens?
I think so, and it's really bad.
Do you have to light it? Do you have to light it with a match and all that, or what? How does this work?
Think of a hookah in a way, a hookah, kind of. And
now I must miss some of that. What you said. I'm wondering. I seen a young guy having a vape right in front of me, put it in his mouth and blow out way more smoke than a cigarette does. You know?
Yeah, but
and
have bars and all.
What?
Does, you know, tobacco cigarettes have tars and other things in there besides just the nicotine? So, I mean, I don't know for sure. I think it's just nicotine oil. And then
so you
burn
you really don't know what the hell you're talking about then, huh?
No, it's halfway. This lady
because
I know had a pipe and, you know, it's about
I'm
it.
I'm trying
That's
to understand how I'm trying to understand how this works, this vaping, you know, because I even seen in a movie, one of the characters in a movie was vaping, you know, and I didn't understand that, you know, I just didn't, you know, so I don't understand, is it, do you get it and you light it with a match and start it like a cigarette and puff on it and blow out something that's not tobacco?
I think so, but it's more in a container than a pipe per se. It's in a container.
I should ask Philip. He's probably sitting there vaping right now. It's all quiet.
But then they went to flavors of this stuff, and all the kids were doing. What happens next? Of course, pot comes in, you know, and people start vaping pot.
Yeah, and then hash, because hash
oil, yeah.
So they're put hash oil in a vaping canister and light it with a match. Is that what happens? And puff it?
I think so. See, I'm not in that scene. Trust me.
Yeah. Well, no, you're. Hell, you know what? I'll just go ahead and stick with the real thing if I wanted it. You know. If I want to smoke a cigarette, I'll smoke a real one. If I want to smoke some pot, I'll smoke a real joint. If I want to take some hash, I'll fire it up, you know, throw it in a little hash pipe, smoke it, you know. But I don't do that stuff, you know. But, you know, by her thinking she can sneak it in a vape canister, that was something else, you know. And, you know. And how did they know it was hash oil? It could have been nicotine oil, you know?
I heard on the radio today, you know, the PBS, whatever, just national news, she had a doctor's prescription, so she's thinking she's very cool.
Yeah, I think that's gossip because she didn't have... She came up with the doctor's prescription way later. That came up later. When they started reaching for straws, they came up with a doctor saying she had a prescription for pot.
Pot
medicine.
Yep.
It wasn't hash. It was pot medicine. And that didn't... correspond with her charge. She is there for hash. Now,
whoa.
So there's, you know, there's kind of a conflict there, you know.
A little whitewash going on.
Yeah. But, you know, the point is, she had no business doing that. So she's caught, right? No biggie. That's her problem and her problem only. But because she got busted in Russia instead of Malaysia or got busted in Canada or going into Mexico or going into Japan or Australia, it became big news because everybody's in the Russian hating mode, you know? And just because you're sneaking it into Russia doesn't make you a better person. You know what I mean? Anyway, yeah, she's still in the news, right? You know? Because what it is, the Americans are making a big thing out of it, and they ruined it for her. See, she thought by everybody crying to get her loose, that's going to work. All that did to me was upset the Russians, and they said it. They said, that loudspeaker logic ain't going to work over here, you know. By putting it on a loudspeaker that we're bad and blah, blah, blah. You know, they made it worse for her. They made it worse for her. Here's what I'll tell you about Russia. Yeah, Russia don't put up with nothing, right? But there's also a side of Russia that is kind of, they can change their rule whenever they want. They're not like American. America, once you get convicted, and it's on paper, and you're sentenced, and it's on paper, there's no way out of it unless you go to appeals or all this stuff, right? There's no way out of it in America. Once you get convicted, the only way out is to beat something in appeal or have some kind of support where the president will pardon you or something like that. Well, Russia, it isn't like that. You can be convicted for any charge. And one day, somebody could, a Russian legal guy could just say, you know what, let her go. We don't need her here. Get her out of here. They can do that out of the wild blue yonder, and they do it all the time. You know what I mean? They will just free somebody. They will just free some. There's a lot of people that were in prison in Russia, and they just freed them. They didn't even do their whole time. But one day they came in and said, let them go. It wasn't because the American or wherever they were from was crying for them. It was because they said, get them out of here. We don't need them here. And they can do that. That's how Russia is. I know that for a fact, you know. And they would have busted her and not made a big stink out of it. She would have went in and blah, blah, blah. Because I'll tell you the big reason why they don't want her here, want her there in Russia. Because she's a bad influence. Know what I mean? She's a bad influence. They don't want her sitting in the jail all gay as hell, contaminating the other Russians with her, with what she is. You know, Russia would rather just get rid of her. You know, but they're holding her because they're pissed off now. But all she had to do was go in there, just be humble like anybody else. When you're busted, what do you do? You're busted. Don't start saying, oh, they set me up. It's blah, blah, blah. This isn't fair. You're not. You're violating my rights, my constitution, you know, like Americans do. You're busted. You're busted. Just go in there, get it over with, and start doing your time. And I tell you what, when she showed up in prison and one of those counselors or prison guards that's watching her starts telling his boss and them, hey, man, let's get rid of her, man. She's gayer than hell. We can't. She's a bad influence on the people here. They'll get rid of her. And don't never let one of them come back in our country again. You know what I mean? They're making an example out of her that don't go over there doing that shit again. But they're going to make sure they don't want her around too long. Don't you think? Or who disagrees with that?
Good logic.
Well, you know, the thing is they'll probably ban her from coming to Russia for life.
Yeah, well,
doesn't matter if she's in a basketball competition or not.
Yep. The Americans do that. If you screw up in America from another country, they'll ban you from coming back into America. All countries do that. That's what I think they would have did to her. They don't want her there. Philip, is what I said, does that have... Do you see my logic?
Yep.
Do you think that's a fact?
Probably.
That is a fact because I'll give you an example. The Russian legal system isn't, their jails aren't like American jails and all that. But they do let them get on the internet because I met a guy who just got out of prison when I was over there, you know. And he said, here's my email address and stuff. He is in prison. He had it, you know. What I learned about them over there, okay, let me use the Pussy Riot. You guys ever heard of Pussy Riot?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a band.
Yeah, well, really, they're not a band. They're a fake band, but they make noise, you know. But these girls, what they were doing was some wicked stuff. They would go into shopping centers and grab chicken out of a package and video them putting it inside their vagina. It's a joke. Yeah, there's videos of that on YouTube. You can look under Nadia Pussy Riot. Look at what they did, you know.
Great.
Look at the stuff they did. And they were against the Orthodox Church. They would go into churches and vandalize the churches.
Gosh.
They would go in there and vandalize the churches. They were good at this. And then they'd video them doing a rock show in a church. And they did this out of oil pipelines, anything they were against. You know why they were doing that? Because they were trying to be American. They got bad influence from American punk rockers that tear up hotels and tear up, you know, the American rock scene and tearing up hotels and getting high on dope and pot and being porno, you know, and all the stuff you hear in regular rock and roll. They were doing all this stuff for a gimmick to become famous. First of all, none of them were really a musician. They were all fake. They made You know, one guy, one of them, made chords and stuff, and anyway, they were pretty sloppy, but because they were women, and they screamed, rah 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 rah, you know, with some drum beat and all that, you know, while they were tearing up a church, while they were, and then making videos of their songs. While they're putting, and one of them, that Nadia was pregnant, and they showed her, excuse my interpretation, but doing it doggy style with another band on video on YouTube while she's pregnant. They, in their brain, they thought this is how Americans get famous. So they were imitating American rock culture, heavy metal and all that, punk rock or whatever you want to call that crazy music. They do that screaming stuff because they played screaming music. They didn't play nice songs, but they did everything you can imagine, like doing videos with them with chicken legs, thighs in the store, putting it up their vaginas, having porno, doing porno, and going in, tearing up churches. And while people were having church, old Russian ladies, old Russian men are in church. They were going in there, scaring the hell out of them, busting the place up, doing a rock show and scaring. The cops was after them. They even busted them and warned them a couple of times. Finally, they just got their ass and took them to prison. They sent three of them to prison. They call it a hooligan, their crimes. You know, for, that's like, I don't know, an interpretation of hooligan. It's like, kind of like just being malicious, like childish, like immature, like, you know. Anyway, they sent them to prison. And then when they went to court, they were really rebelling in court, showing up with their masks and fighting the cops and putting on a big scene in the courthouse. They're doing all this stuff. Anyway, finally their day came and they sent them to prison. When they went to prison, right away Americans started supporting them. Oh, they're being abused. And, you know, like Brittany Griner. And they're being abused, and they got rights, and you're violating their kind of human rights. And nobody's pointing out that they were putting chicken legs in their vaginas, or are these videos that you know, these porno videos they're making, and the vandalism and stuff they're doing at in these churches, these Orthodox churches. And these Russians kind of take the Orthodox Church pretty serious.
And then they
were doing this with their oil pipelines, like went over and kind of like what we're doing over here. And maybe they got that from influence over here too. But they started doing some stuff. Anyway, they went to prison, right? So while they're in prison, everybody's crying to release them, freedom, and all this stuff. And one day, then they all were talking bad about Putin, like everybody else. Putin this, Putin that. Putin, you know. And they're doing all this stuff. Well, one day, Putin just frees two of them. And then the third one gets out. Or maybe it's backwards. They might have let one out. And then, anyway, they let all three of them out.
Wow.
They were out 2 weeks. Oh. And then they had the Sochi Olympics during this time. They went over there and made a big scene at the Sochi Olympics. You know? Trying to make, they hated Putin, so they're trying to make Putin look bad. So anyway, they got these Russian militia. I was trying to think of their name. anyway, they caught these girls and out there while they're doing a gig, and they started whipping them with bull whips, you know. And that was on the news, how they got treated by these Russian militia. This Russian militia is pretty bad too. I mean, they don't fool around. Like one band came from America and started peeing on a Russian flag and all this, and making a big scene and showing off in here. While they were in the motel that night, someone knocked on the door, and you hear the guys in the back, "Oh no, I'm sorry. And then they got the hell beat out of them. Beat the hell out of them and told them, "Get back to America." Anyway, I'm trying to think of the name of this group, but that group beat up Pussy Riot too. Anyway, 2 weeks after Pussy Riot gets out of prison, the Americans buy them plane tickets to come to America because they know they're going to put down Putin. And this happened right after that 2014 thing when Russians got blamed for shooting up Kyiv with Ukraine. So they were trying to, the Russians, the Americans were using these Pussy Riot as a propaganda tool to talk bad about human rights and stuff. And they brought them to America. They were in New York talking on stage. I think they even went to United Nations, and Americans paid them all of this and took them around. But here, catch this. I'm telling you, about 2 weeks after they got out of prison. Now, if you get out of an American prison, do you think you're going to be able to leave the country in 2 weeks? Do you think you're going to get a passport to leave? Do you think, you know, is everybody, did that slip the mind? A normal person should say, well, how the hell did they get to America if they was in prison 2 weeks before putting Putin down? You see, how that happened? Well, what I'm saying is Russia isn't as down on human rights like the Americans claim they are. They don't lock you in Russia. You can get a passport. Anybody can get a passport and leave. They don't care what kind, if you were a criminal or what. Just, you know. That's what I'm saying. People got Russia all wrong. They got it all wrong. These girls were able to leave, and then they were able to come back home after they put down Russia. Go back home. And they're still living normal lives, but recently, because of this Ukraine war, they whipped them out for politics again, Pussy Riot, and put them on the stage to talk bad about Russia some more. You know, and Russia ain't telling them nothing. Russia's still letting them go. Russia said, yeah, go ahead. You're free. Now, what kind of system is that? What it tells me is Russia is more for people's rights than American, huh? Because if you did that in America, America ain't going to let you leave the country and talk bad about America. And if you did, when you returned back to America, they'd have a charge for you, treason or something. You know, they'd lock you up for going away and slandering, you know. So that's what I'm saying. That's how Russia is. Russia's, their system is way different than what American propaganda gives them. You know? And this Brittany Garner, if America keeps their mouth shut, she'll be out because they don't want her in their jail. It's like a Chinese guy told me. I said, I told a Chinese guy, this was in Russia too, a real Chinese from China. I said, hey, so you guys, you think you'll take over America someday? You know, just asked him flat out, you know. He laughed. He said, let me tell you this about my people, my government. And this was a high politician in China. He said, his people don't want to take over America because they don't want to mix their blood interracially with the American trash. So they rather keep America over there. And that's the same way with Russia. They know Americans got bad blood. They ruin every culture they run across. They ruin the black man. They're ruining the Indian. They're ruining everybody. So why does a country want to take over America? If they could destroy America, they might. But not take over and you know what I mean? And have some interbreeding going on. You know, that Chinese guy, when he said that, we don't want our people mixed with American blood. You know, he had a good point there. A damn good point. And, hey, Jennifer, anything?
Hi, good evening. No, you guys been, a lot of good points have been made, and I just want to thank you, Richard, for being a good representative on behalf of our people when you do go to other countries so they see that there, a lot of us don't have that reputation that we're all potheads in our pipes and all that nonsense or all drunk or something, you know. But I really don't like the system where the American government can think that they can ban other countries for the crap that other people do, but not be accountable for what they've done to us. So that's kind of hypocritic something.
You see, like one time they did a reporter did a piece on my band Aerospace in Wolfsburg, Germany, and because she was with us, she met us, she hung out with us for a couple gigs, and she said, here's what she said. She said, we were all gentlemen. She said, she really enjoyed us, you know, because like a bunch of handicapped people, we did a gig at a handicapped place, you know, a small gig, like, it was a Christmas gig. And here, later on, we did a concert at this concert place. And all these handicapped people were so happy that we did their gig for them. They showed up at this gig in wheelchairs and all that. And here my band members, you know, we're a bunch of Indians. So we seen them. We started helping them get up the stairs in their wheelchairs, lifting and carrying them up. And they couldn't believe it. The band was helping these handicapped. We got helping haul them upstairs. You know, because they didn't have handicap access and all that, just so, you know. And they said we were such gentlemen, and they pointed that out. But they said the only complaint they had, they said our bass player was an alcoholic. And we shouldn't have had that bass player. Wasn't good for the rest. You know, because my bass player, Pat, he was trying to be like the German bass player and have a beer on stage and drink beer while he's playing. And he was acting all drunk, you know. And when he got drunk, he was talking like even this reporter. oh, you think you're too good to talk to me? You know, I Indians get drunk. They say stupid stuff. What's your name? You think you're too good to talk to me? You know, he's really stupid when he gets drunk. And that's what she wrote about. She pointed out, we're all good and everything except for the bass player. You know? And another thing, I'll tell you this, and you might not believe this, but, you know, I got a witness to this one. You know, everybody in Germany and Berlin, all these bands, the bands we toured with knew I was a sun dancer. They knew I carried a chalupa. They knew how I lived back on the res, because that's how I met this band. This guy showed up on the res and met us. He was in Kyle, and he bumped across me, and here he played guitar. So we sat down. He came down, and we played. That's how you met him. And next thing you know, we got invited to Berlin.
Wow.
And so they knew that I don't drink or get high, or none of us. Well, they had a big concert. This girl named Ika, she comes to the res, right? And she comes on, you know, I wish she'd come on the radio sometime. But she did a big concert called Strassenfest in right there in right there by where the wall Kreuzberg, they call it Kreuzberg. Strassenfest. They knew me that from doing gigs there. So they were so, to show me respect and honor for performing at Strassenfest, the day I performed, all the establishments in that street and in that area didn't sell alcohol.
Wow.
They could have. No one told them not to. I sure didn't, you know. But when they told me that, I couldn't believe it. I was kind of proud. They said, you know, they even said in the honor of having a Lakota, because at that time I lived in Pine Ridge, so they said a Lakota from the Pine Ridge Reservation here live, in honor of their sobriety and everything, nobody's selling alcohol today in the area.
It's amazing.
So, you know, I'm kind of, I got proud of that. I didn't tell them to do that. I didn't care if they sell beer or what. None, you know, I just was there like anybody else to perform, you know. And when you go do gigs, you ain't over there, you know, trying to tell them, wow, if I show up, you can't do this or shit. When you get a gig, you're so, you're one step from sucking their ass to have the gig. You know what I mean? Especially a concert like that, Strassenfest, you know, when they got bands on the street and thousands of people out there, you know, I got some video, not videos, but photos, you know. She, just to be there, you know. I mean, I don't care what the hell, you know. And they defended me. I remember I was up there on stage. I played bass for another band, too, because another band, a bass player, didn't show up because he was, you know. And so I played bass, and I remember these Nazis. These skinheads, they were doing anti-American protests there because since I came from America, they were, you know, they're going to take it out on me. You know what I mean? So I was on the microphone. I had the microphone. So I said, yeah, I don't care. You can call Americans what you want. I agree with you. You know, they wasn't hurting my feelings at all. Wow, American, blah, 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 should stay over there. Americans should stay in America, you know, and saying that, you know, and I'm there, yeah, I hear you. I agree with you 100%, you know. And but the crowd, in defense of me, they got mad and they went and ran them skinheads off.
Wow.
They said he's not American, he's Lakota, and he represents the native people. You know, he's not American, you know. They supported me. So I knew that I had this influence. They knew me as a sober person. They knew they couldn't pay me off with hash. They knew they couldn't pay me off with drugs. They couldn't buy me a beer, you know. All they could buy me was a wiener schnitzel. A food, you know. That's all they could buy me off with, you know. And so I'm proud, and that's what I tried my band to always let my band know. We're representing our people. Please don't do that wicked stuff over here. I warned them. I said, you might wake up, you might be on one of them beheading videos too. Because my band members, you know, they were after them Turkish girls. You know, because Turkish girls have brown hair and, you know, it's weird. The Turkish girls are real pretty and all that, but the Turkish men look like bad, hairy face and all that. Totally different. You wouldn't even think they're the same race, a Turkish woman and a Turkish man, you know. You know, I told my band, remember those Turkish people, they have rules. They're cultural people. Don't disrespect those women, you know, stay away from them. I was worried about them, you know, and, but we made it through. But like I said, whenever I went someplace, wherever I went, I never wanted them to see me being some weak, addicted tramp or bum. You know what I mean? I never wanted to do that, and I never did, you know? I was always sober, and being the spokesman for the group, you know, when we did like press, news press or whatever, you know, I always was careful what I talked about and how I talked about it. And I let them know that my people were looked at as being alcoholics or weak people. But I let them know that isn't true. I said, we got more sobriety than people realize. There's a lot of sobriety in Indian country, a lot of it. We just think, they just don't run on stage saying, I'm sober. Don't do that. You only see the alcoholics and partiers. They're the ones that make the big noise and make the, you know, that everybody knows, you know. But the sober Indian, drug-free Indian, don't make no noise. Do you guys know what I mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, we let our actions speak for us. But drunk people are always out there showing off. So everybody sees them. You look at those white clay videos of alcoholism on the res. It's the same 15 or 20 faces of alcoholics. You know? But, Jennifer, don't you agree that there's a whole lot of sober Indians that people just don't know about?
Yeah, it doesn't get much exposure, but even on Facebook they have sober Indians, and it generates over, what, 73,000 people on there in that group. But I'm around a lot of different circles, and I'm around a lot of sober people. So
we have
them around, but, you know, we try to get them and encourage them to come to ceremonies.
Like right now, it's sunset season. So a lot of people are stopping in at the house and all that. None of them are drunk in it. They're all sober people and live sober life. And they're coming from all parts of the country. There's a lot of sober Indians. People just don't see it. All they see is the ones that are out shooting people, getting drunk, and fighting on Facebook, you know. And like me, if I see an Indian person out flashing, drinking a beer, I just block them. I don't want them to be associated with me, you know.
Yeah.
So if they're doing that, I don't have them as my friend. Or if they're bragging about pot, I just block them.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I don't care who, if it's my own brother. I got my own brothers blocked, my own sisters. You know? I'm serious. You know, I don't want that to be associated with me. And I'm not trying to be all Mr. Righteous or whatever, but everybody, like all my friends, Facebook friends that I have, talking about Facebook, are usually sober or sun dancers or people that don't use. And I have like maybe 2,000 friends. I don't know what the white people are doing out there, you know, because I can't keep track of them. But if a white person's flying too much American flag or too much Christian, then he ain't going to last on me. I just, you know, block him. I got a block list of maybe 500-700 people, you know.
Yeah, me too.
If I see an Indian bragging about pot, if I see an Indian bragging about drinking, I just get rid of it. I don't even tell them. I don't say, hey, you shouldn't do that. I just block them. I don't tell people what to do. I just let people who's right around me and who's not, you know. And like Philip, he's a sober guy, you know. I don't even need to ask him, you know. And I know you, Jennifer, for years, and Layla, you know. We never sat down and had beers together and none of that, you know. We had lots of food together, you know what I mean. I see sobriety. Most of my friends that are sober, people don't know they're sober because they ain't ones bragging about it. But I tell you what, 9 times out of 10, if there's an Indian on my Facebook page that you see commenting here or there on my page, I tell you what, 90% he's sober. Because if he's not, he won't be on there. And when I played in music, traveled around, even other bands knew I was sober. And when they tried to smoke pot around me, I'd say, catch you later. You don't have to go. It's not, you know, no. They knew they couldn't talk to me if they was going to do that around me, and I leave. If they wanted my friendship, they had to have it on, you know, sober terms. And that's just how it is, sober. And like I put on Facebook a couple of weeks ago, none of my grandchildren, or any ever seen me drunk, you know. and that's a fact. Anyway, I'm sorry to take up all your time tonight.
No, it's been good.
Yep.
But Philip, you got any comment real quick before we go? We only got a minute.
Just that, you know, I hope everybody has a good rest of their weekend and a good week coming up. I know that weather's going to be pretty hot in some places, so make sure you stay hydrated. And love you guys, and I'll be on next week.
Well, yeah, thank you, Philip. And Jennifer, anything?
No, just appreciate everything that you share with us, and thank the listeners for tuning in.
And I really appreciate all of you for showing up. With that, we're going to have to head out. And Dokshake.
Train going in from Fargo, carrying my mother back to me. She died last week outside of Fargo, a victim of her country's apathy. No, no more fighting for me, mother. No more suffering to be done. No, no more pain and no more sorrow. Don't you know that you have won? Yeah, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles to go home. And through the never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. Yeah, hey, 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 hey. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Oh, oh, oh. Never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. Though they never let me know you, still, you mean so much to me. Now, I wish that I could show you all the love you're never gonna see. No, no more fighting for me, mother. No more suffering to be done. Never-ending rain, I'll bring you.